I research autism here, and I enjoy being outside, reading, and jamming to very bad pop music. I also really like meeting new people and just going out. I enjoy because of the interesting varieties of perspective and the cool community.
All right. Hey, everyone. My name is Anton. I'm a first-year student hoping to make my university life memorable one midterm at a time. I'm studying creative writing and English and hoping to one day live on a sailboat while working freelance off of my computer.
That sounds good.
It really does.
And I'm Allison. I am a grad student at Athabasca University. I have a learning issue, but it doesn't stop me from learning and having fun. This is my second season with DP and Sarah and Lydia, and I can't wait and have more fun. So unfortunately, we don't have some collective members with us, but
unfortunately, we don't have some collective members with us, but we have DP here to tell you about it.
Yeah, so they were unfortunately busy, but they wanted to introduce themselves, so we have some pre-recording from them as well.
This is Nicole, and I go by she, her, and sometimes nurse. I am also a mentor at UBC, and I joined the collective to take part in voicing for advocacy and awareness.
Hi, I'm Brett, and I'm a new member of the Accessibility Collective here on CITR. I'm currently a fourth-year undergrad at UBC, and I'm studying political science. I'm actually originally from Los Angeles, and a fun fact about me is that I've played the cello for over 8 years now.
Hi, my name is Clovis, and I am a part-time member. I'm head of HERO, which is a little strange to be on the radio show. I worked at the English Booker, and I am involved with the Canadian Head of HERO Association and their Young Adults Network. I'm very excited for another season of the show.
And we also have another accessibility collective who unfortunately isn't here, but her name is Jessie, and she's third-year undergraduate studies at UBC. She has a learning disability, and she has depression and generalized anxiety disorder. She's a newcomer to All Access Pass, and she looks forward to working with everyone and enjoying the new experience. So hopefully you will get to hear from her soon. But now we're going to be getting started with our first song before we start our show topic. So here is Craig Spokes Levine with the song Uphill Battle.
Love, cause I've been through a lot. I appreciate the things that I got. Been degraded by haters, burned, disintegrated, discriminated against. Tried to turn away, but never made it to the other side of the fence. Grass wasn't greener anyway, it was just my imagination. So I gave up as if there was no purpose of living. Battling demons, getting beat into submission. So when the tables are turned and the lessons are learned, I was lost in the dark, every day got burned. Not a walk in the park, no. It's an uphill battle. Guess I had enough of being stuck in these shackles. Guess I had enough, now let's see what I can tackle. Growing up, I felt a lot of confusion. Got
got older, antisocial, kind of elusive. Employers won't hire me, give me a shot. They see my wheelchair, they like, no, better not. Overdosed on time with a lack of motivation, feel like crying. Stuck in total frustration, alone in the basement, confined to my desktop. Too anxious to go outside for conversation. It's a shame when you got no self-love. Even when the people around you try to boost you up, but in the dirt, some sticks rub together. Spark a flame, you becoming tougher than leather, yeah? Instead, I learned to laugh and crack a smile. Even make a joke every once in a while, yo. Everything's cool now, but it don't stop. Gotta keep up the good fight to be on top, go. So when the tables are turned, and the lessons are learned, I was lost in the dark, every day got burned. Not a walk in the park, no. It's an uphill battle. Guess I had enough of being stuck in these shackles. Guess I had enough, now let's see what I can tackle.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. This is DP, and the song that you just heard was Uphill Battle with Craig Spokes-Levine. Now, but Craig, he is a local and as an outspoken rap artist who uses a wheelchair, as well as part of the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society. And he just a little head tidbit. And he actually performed CITR's 5th annual Access Day back in May. So that's great for you. And now there's a lot of news going around and some events to report on. So this will be our show topic for today. And now, Lydia, you're going to speak. And what's been happening in Quebec lately?
So recently, Quebec Superior Court Judge Donald Bisson has authorized a $500 million class action suit against the Quebec government, which suit alleges systemic neglect and mistreatment of residents of government-run long-term care facilities. In Quebec, these are called CHSLDs. So the Patient Rights Coalition, CPM, filed to bring the suit forth in July of last year, citing 22 examples of what it describes as abusive living conditions in the province's network of CHSLDSs. So the lead plaintiff is Danielle Pilot, who has lived in one of these long-term housing facilities for 4 years. He has muscular dystrophy and cannot move his body from the neck down. So the conditions he describes are ones in which attendants are handling his body improperly, hitting him, not washing him at an acceptable frequency. Sometimes they forget to replace his breathing tube, which increases his risk of infection and inhibits his breathing. Errors, he says, are made with his medication. And he has concerns that in the event of an emergency, the overworked staff don't know what to do if his breathing equipment malfunctions. And he describes himself as living in a constant state of anxiety. And his description of why this is happening is because attendants are overworked. And he says that his personal facility has a staff absenteeism rate of 20%, so 1/5 of staff scheduled to show up do not show up on any given day. And that this has a huge effect on his quality of care. He also said there is sometimes only one nurse at night left to take care of 111 residents, all of whom have various medical needs that are sometimes complex. Additionally, court documents allege that a number of long-term care centers oblige residents to pay for all medications, laundry services, soap, toothpaste, and access to air conditioning, which services CPM, so CPM is who is bringing the suit forth, argue should be included in the fees that are already in the CHSLDSs. So the same court documents allege that a number of residents and family members have had to pay staff under the table in order to make sure that residents have diapers changed recently, regularly. And patients' rights advocate Paul Brunet summarized the legal position of the plaintiffs thusly. When you tell a person, a patient, that there is not enough people to take that person to the washroom that she or he has to do in his diaper, and that person starts crying then, this is a violation of that person's dignity. And this is protected by the Canadian and Quebec Charter. And therefore, the Quebec government is in violation of Quebec law. So this suit could potentially apply to the 37,000 people who are currently staying in the long-term care facilities and who CPM says are likely not receiving basic care. And it applies to everyone who has been in these facilities from July of 2015 onward. They're seeking compensatory damages of $250 to $750 per user at the moment. And there's a sort of long history of this, nationally, internationally. In Quebec specifically, residents of long-term care centers were granted the right to install surveillance equipment in their rooms in 2018 in an effort to curb mistreatment of residents. In the last election in 2018, the Quebec premier campaigned in part on promises to replace the current housing system with seniors' homes that were more friendly to residents. But these homes have yet to be built or organized. Quebec's ombudsperson, Rerin Frey, recently handed down a report noting that people who are sick, disabled, and poor have harrowing bureaucratic challenges to face before they can be admitted to these facilities. In addition, these long-term facilities will not admit a refugee child until the family's refugee file is settled, even if the child themselves was born in Quebec. So, yeah, as of September 18th, 2019, more than 3,000 people in Quebec were on the waiting list, which are often years long, in order to get into these long-term housing facilities, such as the exact one the lead plaintiff, who is undergoing all these indignities, is currently experiencing. But there is still a huge demand for this kind of housing. So on that note, Allison, would you like to usher us into a song break?
Of course. The next song is Christina Sheldon, and the song is called Falling. So, hope you guys like it.
Feels like nothing can fill my heart. For what it's worth, the tears are doing their part. It's shocking how memory can be so painful. How hopes and dreams
Hey guys, please vote in this federal election. Pretty please? Please? Actually, no. You know what? F*** this. I'm not gonna beg you. Get the f*** out there and vote. This is your right and your responsibility. Don't give me that political apathy bullshit.
What's the point?
We're in a climate crisis, an opioid crisis, and a housing crisis. Your vote can actually do something about those things. We know the system is messed up, so let's fix it. Start by voting. Election Day is October 21st. To register, find early voting dates, and any other info, please, please visit elections.ca. Ta-ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again. I could be you.
And welcome back to CITR FM 101.9 in Vancouver. So we just heard from Christina Sheldon and her song Falling. A little bit about Christina. She is from Vancouver and has a spinal cord injury that threatened to end her advancing musical ambitions. But through hard work and determination, and despite her physical limitations, she is again performing at venues throughout the city, writing new music, and has joined the board of directors for the Vancouver Adaptive Music Society.
Oh, well, everyone, it is the season, and I don't mean it's time to pull out Michael Bublé's Christmas album quite yet. I think it's time to check out Justin Trudeau's dreamy hair, Elizabeth May's sharp demeanor, and Jasmine Singh's youthful intelligence. That means it's time to vote. But what does voting mean for the 6 million people who have a disability? What tools are provided by the federal government to allow those with disabilities to be heard? Well, the CBC has put together a nice little synthesis on what is available for this election. Many of these suggestions have been provided by the Advisory Group for the Disability Issues, AGDI, who have been working really hard with Elections Canada to benefit those with disabilities and give them the opportunity that they deserve to vote. Physical accessibility at polling stations has been a huge issue before, and it seems like they're trying to cover that now. They've looked for accessibility in getting to the polling station, as well as once you're there. Anywhere that there are stairs requires ramps, and this needs to be wide enough for wheelchairs and scooters. Additionally, there needs to be easy open doors, and the voting room needs to be easy to access by being on the same level as the entrance. So hopefully all these things will allow people with physical disabilities to get to the polling station. When you reach the polling station, there have also been improvements such as lowered polling stations for wheelchairs, aids so that a ballot doesn't slip while using a braille reader, and even pencils so that there is more grip to be provided. To help with visual aids, there are larger font size of candidate names on the ballot, and is made so they can be properly read by screen readers, which are commonly used visual aids. So those that need visual aids, there are other provisions. These include magnifiers with light, a tactile and braille voting template, large print lists of candidates, braille lists of candidates, which are available only on election day, voting screens that let in more light, and large pencils. The goal is that with visual impairments, people with visual impairments will be able to vote independently and privately. Hopefully in the future, there can also be photos of the candidates, but for now, the Election Act prevents this from happening. For those who are hearing impaired, there will be people to translate in American Sign Language or Langue des Signes Québécoises. That's just me trying to say it in French. However, these have to be requested ahead of time online. As well, other common assisted devices such as CART captioning, C-A-R-T captioning, a hearing loop, or FM or infrared systems are not available at polling stations. So, even though the debates are available in sign language, and as well, the debates will be available in sign language or Langue des Signes Québécois. Election Canada also allows Canadians to bring someone to the polling station to help them mark their ballot. I actually saw this yesterday, and they were pretty inconspicuous about that. They can be your spouse, your friend, or your personal support worker. That person is even allowed to help another voter if the need arises. They just need to be 18, and they need to promise to keep your confidentiality. Finally, there is voting at many seniors' homes and an option to vote by mail. One woman even contacted Elections Canada and had them come to her house so she could vote there. Most importantly, there has been a huge push towards training staff to understand the needs of people with disabilities while voting and in helping them so that everyone gets their chance. In terms of incorporating accessibility in campaigns, it's now said that candidates who incur additional costs to make their local events or meetings fully accessible, including providing sign language translation, can have up to 90% of the cost reimbursed, up to a maximum of $5,000. And there's a huge push to get people with disabilities to go out there to be candidates. All of this is important for getting people out there to vote. In June, the Accessible Canada Act was passed, which has been created, and the government has to pass regulations establishing standards in the areas covered by the Accessible Canada Act, including Elections Canada. So hopefully there will be even more improvements for the next election. We'll see what happens.
All right, and now let's go to another song break. Here's Florence Kay with the song, You're Breaking My Heart.
Breathless that I can't even speak. There's a certain kind of thing nobody can. Welcome back to All Access Pass. The song you heard before the break was You're Breaking My Heart from Florence Kay. About Florence, she's an award-winning Canadian pop singer and songwriter from Quebec who performs material in English, French, Spanish, and Portuguese. She is the host of CBC radio show C'est Formidable, I think I said that right, which features musicians from Quebec. Florence struggles with depression, which led her to write her memoirs entitled Buena Vida, which means good life. She's a strong advocate for ending the stigma around mental health. Now, here's Allison and Lydia talking about an awesome event they attended last week.
So, yeah, both Lydia and I went to the Vancouver International Film Fest, and they had two movies about disability, Daphne and When We Walk. And so I went and saw both of them, Daphne and When We Walk. Daphne was playing at the Vancouver Playhouse, and it was a really good movie about a woman with Down syndrome and her having to take care of her dad after she loses her mom. So really well done. I went with my mom, funny enough. And it was a really good film about just looking into her life. The only downside is that I didn't get timing. Like, it really didn't have a good timing. Like, how long did she have to mourn, and how long after that she was able to kind of heal? The big thing that I had for venue was accessibility. It said on the website that it had accessible washrooms and it was very accessible. I couldn't find the accessible washrooms, and it was a little difficult to get to by transit. It also didn't have a lot of wheelchair accessible seating, and at the end they didn't raise the house lights, so trying to get out was tricky. So those were my only issues, was just trying to get to the place, find seating, and leave and go to the washroom. So.
And it was in Italian, right?
And it was in Italian, but they had subtitles, English subtitles.
Do you know Italian?
I don't know Italian. Okay. They did have English subtitles, which was nice.
All right. Do you have other thoughts over there?
No.
Great.
What did you thought about? What did you think about When We Walk?
So, a little background. When We Walk is a movie about a lot of things, and it is a follow-up film to the 2013 documentary When I Walk, and it's a film in which Jason De Silva, someone who grew up in part in Tsawwassen, BC, documents his own experience with primary progressive multiple sclerosis, which is an accelerated form of multiple sclerosis in which symptoms steadily worsen over time. De Silva was 25 when he was diagnosed, and he's currently 41. And When We Walk documents the most recent 6 years of his life, and it was a big 6 years. Got divorced from his wife, his son is growing up, and he's trying to maintain a relationship with his son long distance because his wife or ex-wife took his son to live really far away from him. And I was super impressed by the narrative flow of the movie, because De Silva shoots like terabytes of footage over years when he's making his movies, and then spends hours and hours and hours in the editing bay crafting some coherent storyline out of that. And I thought the way that he put that together was super amazing.
It was really, really well done. And being able to talk, like, ask questions after with him.
That yeah, was he was really there.
Good. Yeah, he was there. And he also gave out T-shirts mm-hmm. of his app.
Free stuff. Always good.
Yeah. So, really well done.
So, I think I have a question for you, Allison. What did your mom think about the film?
I think my mom enjoyed Daphne, but she also had the same criticism in that she didn't know the, like, timing of the plot. We didn't really know, like, what if it was, like, in a year, was it 5 years? There wasn't very good in the plot.
Right.
But I think she enjoyed it otherwise, and it was nice to be, like, mother-daughter watching, like, something about mother-daughter.
Of course, because mm-hmm. that is a real-life situation. I mean, you just never know when those kind of situations come. So it was probably very emotional for you and your mom as well to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the other thing was that we don't know kind of how the mom died, but there was some talk about suicide
mm-hmm.
with the mother, so right. that was a little difficult.
Right.
I think especially, like, saw it in the father's face, like, that he lost his wife to, like, mental health issues.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, powerful there.
Yeah.
Were you able to read the closed captioning, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Really well done for the closed captionings.
Awesome. Lydia, would you like to add anything else?
Just that When We Walk was super good, and it was a good time. I might have made it sound like a bummer, but it's not. There's, no. like, Tinder, which we all know is a good time. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. Allison, you got thoughts?
I think it was also good. I don't know. Well, I liked the free swag, and I liked how he talked about his app,
mm-hmm.
about where's accessible, like which restaurants, where to go that's accessible.
Yeah. I did wonder about, so his son is, I think, 5 or 6 in the film and is a major feature of the film, and how that sort of works in terms of consent. And there's all these, like, very, like, intimate relationship moments between Da Silva and his son in the film. And I, like, wonder how his son as an adult person will feel that, like, these very personal things have been made very, very public from such a young age.
But I mean, I think it's also worth noting that by the time his son's an adult, he Da Silva probably won't be alive. So it might be seen as sentimental rather than, you know, too intimate at that point. Things have a way of switching, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's go into another song break. Here is Justin Hines featuring Sierra Noble with the song Say What You Will.
If I were to die today, my life would be more than okay. For the time I spent with you, it's like a dream come true. If this was the last goodbye, no more tears to dry, I would say it one more time. It's been more. I've known, and I've shown. So say what you will before it's too late. Say what you will. Say what you will before it's too late. Say what you will.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. The song you heard was Say What You Will from Justin Hines featuring Sierra Noble. A little bit about Justin. He is a Canadian singer-songwriter who was born in Newmarket, Ontario. Hines has a rare genetic joint condition called Larson syndrome and uses a power wheelchair. He's a strong supporter of numerous charities and has performed at many fundraising events. He's also founded the Justin Hines Foundation, a charitable foundation for people with disabilities. Now, here's DP and Lydia, who are going to help me close for this week.
Yep, and that wraps up our show for today. So I hope you enjoyed, and if you are interested in joining our team or think that there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Please like us on our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you're on Twitter or Instagram, or both, please follow us at @access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to past shows, you can do that too on CITR.ca by going into the search box and typing in, guess what? All Access Pass.
Whoa. Thank you for listening, and tune in to our next show in 2 weeks, Wednesday, October 30th at 3 p.m. Hi, Grandpa.
Please stick around for some more CITR programming coming up next. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Sure.